The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You find this scripture in Revelation 11, verse 15. In a world where we constantly strive for justice, peace, and unity through human-led governance, we are often reminded of the limitations and imperfections of these systems. Earthly governments, or any leadership team, any committee, no matter how they are structured or governed, cannot provide the lasting harmony and righteousness that we, as children of the Most High, long for. Human nature, with all its flaws and self-centeredness, and we heard that in the sermonette, thank you so much, Mr. Lostedt, is deeply embedded in every institution, no exceptions, in every institution, making it clear that no government created by humanity can bring about the true peace, unity, and justice that our Father desires of his creation. Only through the establishment of our Father's kingdom will we experience perfect love, compassion, and righteous authority that will guide all nations toward everlasting peace. Let us ask this question. Are we prepared to fully embrace and live out the values of our Father's kingdom as we await its establishment on the new earth? Are we prepared to fully embrace and live out the values of our Father's kingdom as we await its establishment on the new earth? Let us explore this question in the remaining minutes of this message. The title of this message is Embracing Our Father's Kingdom. Embracing Our Father's Kingdom. Let us briefly examine seven key tenets illustrating the limitations of human governance while highlighting the promise of our Father's perfect kingdom. Now we treat it like a coin. We look one side of coin, and then we look at the other side of that same coin. Each tenet is grounded in foundational wisdom derived from Scripture, guiding us to embody kingdom values in our lives today. No need to wait for something. We can start living those elements today as we prepare to reign alongside Jesus Christ for 1,000 years and then into eternity. The first tenet I would like to touch on is human governments are imperfect due to carnal nature. Human governments are imperfect due to carnal nature. All human governments and leadership teams, I've never seen an organization or team that wouldn't fall under this. No matter how well-intentioned, are ultimately constrained by the imperfections of human nature. Leaders and citizens alike are often influenced by pride, and we heard about that in the sermonette, ambition, and self-interest, which hinders the realization of true justice and peace. Let's turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. These limitations prevent human governance from reflecting the perfect righteousness of our Father's kingdom. As saints, we recognize that transformation by the Spirit is essential to overcoming the carnal tendencies that plague human systems. Again, as well-intended as they are, only in our Father's kingdom will governance be characterized by genuine righteousness, justice, and lasting peace, truly providing the harmony we so deeply long for. Romans 8, verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. This teaches us a fundamental truth about our human condition. When our minds are dominated by self-centered desires, we become naturally resistant to the ways of our Father. There can be no other way. It's completely detrimental and in opposition of His ways. We almost develop antibodies to His perfect governing. Isaiah chapter 59. Such resistance makes it difficult for us, and consequently our systems of governance, to embrace godly justice, love, and humility. Governance shaped by this mindset struggles to align with our Father's perfect law, and therefore it cannot establish true justice or lasting peace. It just doesn't work. Only when our hearts are transformed by our Father can the principles of His kingdom take root, allowing the flourishing of righteousness and peace. Isaiah 59 verse 8. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. The absence of peace and justice in human governance is revealed here, showing just how far human systems deviate from godly guidance. Crooked paths symbolize moral compromises and flawed decisions, leading us away from the peace and righteousness that our Father desires of us and for us. Jeremiah chapter 10. Without the influence of our Father's Spirit, His active presence in our lives, these human systems will continue to falter, ultimately failing to create the justice and harmony we long for. As saints, we place our hope in our Father's kingdom, knowing that true peace will only be realized when His governance is fully established. Jeremiah 10 verse 23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Sometimes we take way too much credit. Huh? We think we can determine this or that. It's not in us. This knowledge, our human inability to chart a righteous course without godly guidance. No, do we acknowledge that? Left to our own devices, and we are kind of prisoners of our own devices, we lack the capacity to achieve true justice and righteousness. Our way, limited by our weaknesses and biases, we all have those biases. Somebody once said, you know, David, are you biased toward immigrants? I'm an immigrant. Our way, limited by our weaknesses and biases, is often inadequate for building a just society. And we all have those biases. And the more alike we are, the more we reinforce those biases in each one of us. As children of the Most High, we understand the need for our Father's wisdom to direct our steps. It is only through seeking His guidance that we can walk in righteousness. His kingdom, characterized by His eternal wisdom, will bring the peace and justice that our human systems can never achieve. Acknowledging the inherent limitations of human nature helps us understand why earthly governance and governments, though necessary for maintaining order, are only temporary. Let us now consider how they fit into our Father's broader plan and how these flawed institutions serve a role in His overall design. Not to make excuses for them, but they serve a purpose. The second tenet I would like to briefly touch on is governments serve a temporary purpose in our Father's plan. Governments serve a temporary purpose in our Father's plan. Though earthly governments are imperfect, they exist within our Father's sovereign plan and serve a temporary purpose. these structures, though fallible, like we have seen, help maintain order and restrain chaos in a world influenced by sin. They serve as a provisional measure until our Father's kingdom is truly established. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. As children of the Most High, we respect these authorities, recognizing their role in our Father's plan. However, we also understand that human governments, with all their flaws, are only a shadow of what is to come. Our ultimate hope is in our Father's kingdom, where justice, mercy, and love will reign eternally. Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. This reminds us that all governing authorities operate under the sovereignty of our Father. It doesn't make them just or right, but they operate under the sovereignty of our Father. Their existence is allowed by Him, even though they're flawed and fallible. That's why we have a role to play in that, and we'll see that. But of course, our role in this specific instance here to acknowledge that there is such a thing, and that it is by order of our Father. 1 Peter chapter 2. By submitting to these authorities, we acknowledge our Father's control over human history and the temporary role these institutions play. It can be very difficult for a certain time. No, we know many an example of very challenging leaders, and people suffer tremendously, and we'll go into that a little bit later here. As saints, we understand that earthly governments are part of our Father's plan to provide a level of order until the establishment of His perfect kingdom. In essence, they are designed to tie us over till that time. It's not even a means to an end. It's a temporary stopgap, if you want to put it that way. No? Till Jesus Christ will return and really show mankind how it's really done. Including each one of us in the church, how it's really done. Our respect for these authorities is rooted in our trust in His sovereignty and His ultimate plan for righteousness and peace on the new earth. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 and 14. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, or every institution ordained for people. That's what it means. Whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Being subject to human institutions for the Lord's sake means that our respect for these authorities is ultimately about honoring our Father, regardless of whether or not we like the outcome of an election. It's besides the point. Can we honor that? And that applied 4 years ago, and it applies now, and it will apply in 4 years till the millennium arrives. Even though these institutions are flawed, they serve to maintain order and deter wrongdoing. Proverbs chapter 21. As saints, we submit to these authorities, and not because they are perfect, but because we recognize that our Father uses them for His purposes. And that includes the Church of God. Our willingness to respect human governance is a reflection of our trust in our Father's wisdom. We await the day when His perfect government will replace these flawed systems, bringing true justice, peace, and love to all creation. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The kings, or the ruling authorities' heart, is a stream of water in the land of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. This reminds us that even the most powerful rulers are ultimately under our Father's control. The king's heart symbolizes the thoughts, decisions, and inclinations of those in authority with our Father, which our Father directs according to his purposes, even though sometimes it can be very difficult to see. Even when leaders act in ways that seem unjust, we can trust that our Father is guiding the course of history to fulfill his plan. He won't let anybody, you know, kind of interfere with that plan. That should fill us with tremendous hope and confidence. As children of the Most High, we take comfort in knowing that despite the flaws and failings of human leaders, our Father's hand is sovereign and his kingdom will be established in perfect righteousness and justice. Recognizing the temporary role of earthly governments within our Father's plan leads us to examine the dangers of unchecked power, regardless of countries or organization. Let us now turn our attention to authoritarian regimes, which demonstrate the consequences of power without accountability and reveal the contrast between human governance and our Father's intended form of leadership. The third tenet is authoritarian regimes illustrate the dangers of power without accountability. That can apply to any organization, obviously, that have that kind of form or governance structure. When power is concentrated in the hands of a few without accountability, the potential for abuse and oppression becomes significant. Proverbs chapter 29. Authoritarian regimes often lead to systemic injustice, as unchecked leaders may use their authority to control others and serve their own interests. They oftentimes come across as benevolent, dictators. You know, I do it to the good of you, or you have to obey me in this. It's not just countries, it's including organizations, including religious organizations. This stands in stark contrast to the values of our Father's kingdom, which are rooted in humility, justice, and love. As children of the Most High, we recognize the danger of power without accountability and understand that our Father's kingdom will be characterized by servant leadership, ensuring that justice and compassion prevail, bringing peace and harmony to all people and creation. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. That's why it's so important we pray for our leaders, or that God brings about, obviously, the right set and mix of leaders. The well-being of a people is closely tied to the character of its leaders. But of course, it's then also a reflection of the people. But here we are talking authoritarian regimes, not democratic regimes. When righteous leaders are in authority, people thrive, experiencing joy and prosperity. In contrast, when wicked rulers hold power, the people suffer, groaning under oppression and injustice. Isaiah 10, verse 1. This truth highlights the importance of righteous leadership and the dangers of power without accountability. We are tremendously blessed in this nation that we have the segregation of power. Sometimes we lose sight of that. We have those safety mechanisms. There's a reason why we also have elections every 2 years. But again, I go get ahead of myself. As saints, we see the difference between human governments and our Father's kingdom, where righteous leadership will bring joy and peace. Our Father's governance will be marked by compassion, love, and integrity, transforming the experience of all humanity. but as we understand, it has implications all creation. Isaiah 10 verse 1, woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees and the writers who keep writing oppression. It's like Congress, huh? The writers who keep writing oppression. This expresses a clear condemnation of leaders who enact unjust laws and policies that oppress the vulnerable. And we all understand what those vulnerables are, no? Born or not born yet. Authoritarian regimes often benefit the few while marginalizing the many, perpetuating cycles of suffering and injustice. Matthew chapter 20. Our Father's heart is for justice and righteousness, and his kingdom will stand in stark contrast to such governance as we are talking about here. As children of the Most High, we look forward to a time when every form of oppression will be abolished and where the laws of our Father's kingdom will be marked by compassion, equity, and justice. Our Father's and Jesus Christ's leadership will ensure that all are treated with dignity and love. Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus called them, his disciples, to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. Jesus speaks of the tendency of earthly rulers to misuse power by seeking dominance rather than serving others. That's why we put term limits in place in government and in organizations to prevent that. Such leadership is marked by a desire to control, often leading to oppression and injustice. Again, because we all have our biases. In contrast, Jesus modeled servant leadership, laying down his life for others and using his authority for the benefit of those he led, as we have heard in the sermonette. As saints, we are called to embrace this model of leadership, both in our personal lives and as we anticipate our Father's kingdom. In his kingdom, authority will be used not to oppress, never to oppress, but to uplift, nurture, and care for all creation. The flaws of authoritarian regimes highlight the dangers of unchecked power, but even systems that promote freedom, like democracies or republics, are not immune to the flaws of human nature. Let us now consider how democracy, while allowing freedom, still remains vulnerable to human failings and the consequences that arise from flawed governance. The fourth tenet is democracy allows freedom but is still vulnerable to human flaws, especially as we find ourselves in a system duopoly. You know, in essence, we have two powers. You know, they can create deals with each other, either for the good or for the bad. It's not a true democracy in that sense, because wherever we have a two-party system, there's still limitations to that. Democracy offers the promise of freedom and representation, allowing us a voice in governance. But as we have seen just in recent history, it's not always like that, where candidates can be swapped out at any given time, which is fully legitimate, because it's according to the rules of the game. However, even democratic systems are susceptible to the flaws inherent in human nature. Pride, rivalry, and self-interest can undermine the collective good, leading to division and dysfunction. Proverbs chapter 14. The competitive nature of democratic politics can foster environments where personal gain takes precedence over communal well-being. As children of the Most High, we understand that no system, democratic or otherwise, can fully overcome these limitations without the transformation of the heart by our Father's Spirit. Only his Spirit brings about true justice, unity, and righteousness, making his kingdom our ultimate hope. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to or ways of death. Human judgment, disconnected from our Father's wisdom, often leads to choices that seem right but ultimately bring harm. In democratic systems, decisions are often influenced by popular opinion, which may not align with godly principles. Now, do another survey. What do they want to hear? What shall I tell the people? What do they want to hear? Regardless of my own principles. And then people buy in to that. James chapter 3. Without our Father's guidance, even our best intentions can lead to destructive outcomes. And we have to be very careful with whom we align ourselves with. This teaches us the importance of aligning our hearts and decisions with our Father's wisdom. As saints, we must seek His guidance so that our actions reflect His righteousness, allowing us to contribute to a society that upholds love, justice, and peace in preparation for His kingdom. There's nothing wrong to get involved in those kind of efforts, as long as it's not following some misguided scheme and one falls for some scheme. James 3 verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Jealousy and selfish ambition are deeply destructive forces, leading to chaos and unethical behaviors, even in democratic systems. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Political competition can foster rivalry, self-interest, and division, because a party means a partition. It means division inherently, which undermines the pursuit of the common good. As saints, we are called to reject self-serving ambitions and embrace the values of our Father's kingdom, which emphasize humility, compassion, and concern for others. By aligning ourselves with these values and being led by His Spirit, we can use the freedom democracy provides to serve others selflessly, helping to build a society that reflects our Father's justice, righteousness, and love. There's a reason why the Church of God can thrive in certain nations more than others. It's because we have been blessed by systems that allows that, where we can really make a positive difference. And we shall not shy away of being ambassadors of that kingdom in whatever we can do. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and the striving after wind, or a feeding on wind. In essence, you know, you feed on wind, you see how, if you get full or not, you know. The Hebrew term translated vanity or vain refers concretely to a mist, vapor, or mere breath, and metaphorically to something that is fleeting or elusive. Our lives are described as, you know, it's like a little vapor. And I could see that in my mother, final 4 weeks, how it just kind of that flame slowly, you know, faded away. This expresses the futility of human efforts when they are disconnected from our Father's purpose. And that's very important, not just any human effort. Oh, I don't have to do anything. I wash my hands of it. I'm not getting involved anywhere in life, in society. I don't mean in a political system. That's not what I'm referring to. Just overall. Again, it's only futile when they are disconnected from our Father's purpose. That's why even as a church, we can sometimes spin the wheels and not making headway, because we are simply whoever. I don't mean it our organization or anybody in particular, just disconnected from our Father's purpose. Democratic societies, despite their focus on freedom and representation, because that can become a hang-up in itself, often become preoccupied with political maneuvering, often become a personal gain and power struggles, ultimately failing to address the deeper needs of the human heart. I've never heard a party or any organization talk about the human heart. True fulfillment and purpose can only come when our actions align with our Father's will. And then something will take off, again, in line with His will. I don't mean that if an organization grows quickly, they must be aligned with our Father's will. That's not what I'm saying. It's the spiritual component to that. As saints, we place our hope in His kingdom, recognizing that human governance, though useful for a time, for 2 years, for 4 years, you name it, 6 years if you're a senator, is ultimately inadequate, and that only our Father's perfect rule will bring about everlasting justice, peace, and purpose. I'm convinced that we sometimes experience certain drama in our system as a reminder of what really we need that kingdom to come. Hopefully we more fervently pray for that. The core issue in all forms of human governance is the condition of the human heart. Without renewal by our Father's Spirit, our hearts remain the greatest barrier to achieving true righteousness. Let us now explore how the human heart is the root of all flawed governance and why its transformation is essential for true justice. The fifth tenet, to briefly touch on, is the root problem lies in the human heart. The root problem lies in the human heart. The human heart, without the transformation of our Father's Spirit, remains inclined towards selfishness, pride, and deceit. If we don't think that, we are oblivious to that fact. We're deceiving ourselves. This internal brokenness manifests outwardly in the systems we build, leading to flawed governance, injustice, and disunity. Some people think if you add one more law or one more amendment to this, everything will be fine. No, it's not a matter of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17. The real issue is not one of simply improving human policies or systems. It is the transformation of the human heart that is necessary. As children of the Most High, we recognize that true change begins within. Only when our hearts are transformed by our Father's Spirit can we, as individuals, leaders, and societies, align ourselves with the values of His kingdom and truly reflect His love, righteousness, and compassion. We have now about 6 months or so, maybe 5.5 months, till the spring festival season. It's never too early to start with that. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? He meant well in his heart. You know, oftentimes he said, no, we know the reality. We know from the human, from the scripture, the condition of our hearts apart from God. The human heart left unchecked is deceitful and morally unreliable, which affects every aspect of governance. Leaders and citizens alike are influenced by selfish desires, resulting in misguided decisions and flawed systems. Romans chapter 3. Our Father's Spirit is essential for renewing and healing the human heart. As saints, we recognize that no governmental reform can solve the deeper issue of human depravity or a split. You know, sometimes churches split because we need to purify ourselves or we need to do this or that. No, it doesn't address the human heart. Just divide into smaller little groups where people think they can get along. No, only our Father can. True justice and righteousness in society begin with individuals whose hearts have been transformed by him, allowing his values to be reflected in every aspect of life, of our lives, including leadership and governance. Romans 3 verse 10. None is righteous. No, not one. This reminds us that no one is inherently righteous, underscoring the limitations of human systems to establish justice. Without our Father's Spirit, all individuals, regardless of their status or position, fall short of the godly standard. Now, there's a reason the Supreme Court contains 9 people, because you cannot just one. Of course, if you make it too big a body, then it becomes ineffective too. Then you can hide behind the masses. You can vote one way or another. Who cares? This is the inherent flaw in democratic systems. There's really no accountability. Isaiah chapter 64. Leaders too are prone to selfishness, error, and the pursuit of personal gain. The righteousness we need is not something we can generate ourselves. It is a gift from our Father. Like repentance. As saints, we place our hope in his transformative work, knowing that only through his Spirit can we experience the justice and peace that will characterize his kingdom. Isaiah 64, verse 6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. This acknowledges that even our best efforts are tainted without our Father's sanctification. He makes it right. His standard makes it right. Not our inherent drive to make things right. It is our Father through Jesus Christ that will make it right, that will sanctify our efforts, whether or not it's within family, whether or not we have a leadership role in society or in the church or everywhere else. Human attempts at establishing justice and righteousness often fall short despite good intentions. I always remember my time at Ambassador College. You know, everything was so controlled and so governed. But, you know, it's a matter of the heart. It looks a little better from people looking from the outside, but is it really as a matter of a heart? These efforts are like polluted garments, imperfect and insufficient. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything. Again, it's a part of our Father, or we look to ourselves for our ability, tying it back to the sermonette. It is our Father that sanctifies our efforts. We cannot. If you take one thing away from this message, it is our Father that sanctifies our effort and that transforms our hearts and minds. We need our Father's Spirit to cleanse and transform our motives and actions. As saints, we rely on his power to align our hearts with his will, knowing that true justice can only be established in his kingdom. It's not the other way around. Sometimes I hear that too. God agrees with me. He better not. Only when he reigns will the righteousness and peace we seek come to fruition, transforming our lives and the world by extension. Understanding the limitation imposed by the human heart naturally shifts our focus to the hope offered through our Father's plan, the establishment of his kingdom under the perfect leadership of Jesus Christ. Let us explore how this future kingdom will bring the justice and peace that the human systems have failed to provide. The 6 of 7 tenets is, our Father's kingdom will be established by Jesus Christ with perfect leadership. And who is that perfect leadership? Unlike human governments, our Father's kingdom will be founded on perfect justice, wisdom, and love embodied in the leadership of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9. His reign will rectify the failures and shortcomings of human systems, bringing about the peace and righteousness that the world longs for. It's not just us deep down. All creation longs for the revealing of the sons of God, as we know. People just don't know it yet. But deep down inside, everybody longs for that. I was actually working for an NGO, non-governmental organization, early in my career as a project controller, which means I had to make sure that the money was really spent the way they were intended. It was intended to spend. And people were part of that from all walks of life. And it says, you know, describe the perfect leader. And it says, we need a righteous or benevolent dictator. You know, obviously, the way that is described it, you know, this is what we know that Jesus Christ will bring. The world just can't articulate it, but also that's why we have this searching for good leaders. Because ultimately, I think what the world ultimately will seek for somebody like Jesus Christ. Just don't know it. As children of the Most High, we eagerly anticipate this kingdom, knowing that under Christ's leadership, every decision will be rooted in godly love, and every action will reflect our Father's perfect will. This kingdom will be characterized by eternal justice, compassion, and the fulfillment of every promise our Father has made to us. In this kingdom, all of creation will thrive. All of creation will thrive. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For us, a child is born, to us a son is given. That now is referring to the past, obviously, Jesus Christ's first coming. And the government shall be, actually the Hebrew also said, or is upon his shoulder. Because technically, even though he's not here yet, the government is already on his shoulder. He's already at work. He's preparing. He's not just kind of waiting, doodling his thumbs until the Father says to send him here. He's busily preparing. Again, this speaks of the first coming and the return of our Messiah, who will bear the weight of governance upon his shoulder, but to a degree already is today. Unlike human rulers, whose authority often leads to oppression and corruption, just a matter of time, that's why term limits are so important, and that our lives end at some point is so important, Christ's leadership will be marked by righteousness, peace, and perfect love. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. His reign will bring joy, healing, and harmony to all people. We eagerly anticipate the establishment of this government, knowing that Jesus Christ, in his wisdom and love, will lead in a way that no human leader ever would or could. Under his governance, the peace and justice we long for will be realized, and our Father's perfect plan will be fulfilled. And as we have just rehearsed during the Feast of Tabernacles, we will rule with him for 1,000 years. Daniel 2, verse 44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. That shall never be destroyed. This emphasizes the eternal nature of the kingdom that our Father will establish through Jesus Christ as the king. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Unlike earthly governments that are temporary and often corrupted by power, the kingdom will endure forever, surpassing all earthly powers. The promise of a kingdom that will never be destroyed offers hope and assurance that our Father's rule will bring about lasting justice, righteousness, and peace. As saints, we look forward to the time when all failings of human governance will be replaced by the perfect rule of Jesus Christ, who will reign in wisdom, love, and justice for eternity. Right there it shows us, or anybody aspires to be in any kind of leadership function, wisdom, love, and justice. Godly justice. Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Just write down one scripture. Remember one scripture from this message. This is the scripture. The scripture we began with, Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This declares the ultimate victory of our Father's kingdom over all earthly powers. All the flawed temporary kingdoms or republics or democracies of this world will be replaced by the eternal reign of Jesus Christ. Under his leadership, true justice, unity, and peace will be established, fulfilling our Father's plan for all of creation. As children of the Most High, we find hope and assurance in this promise, knowing that the leadership of Jesus will bring about the perfect, righteous governance that humanity has longed for almost 6,000 years, whether they know it or not. His kingdom will be characterized by everlasting joy, love, and fulfillment. With this promise of a perfect kingdom under Christ's leadership, we are called to reflect on how this future reality impacts our present lives. This understanding challenges us to embody the values of our Father's kingdom now, already now. It has to begin with us now, preparing our hearts for his reign. Let us explore the significance of love and service and humility in this context. The seventh and final tenet of this message is a government of love and service will bring lasting peace and healing. A government of love and service will bring lasting peace and healing. Our Father's kingdom will be characterized by love, humility, and the spirit of service, contrasting sharply with the power-driven, self-serving nature of many earthly governments. This kingdom will heal divisions. No more parties. No more little factions. No more conservatives. No more liberals. Will heal divisions and suffering and establish lasting peace for all creation. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. As children of the Most High, we are called to embody these values in our lives today, becoming agents or ambassadors of his love and of his coming kingdom. By living out his principles of love and service now, we are participate in his redemptive work and prepare ourselves and those around us for the fulfillment of his promises. That's what we should be busy about it, to prepare for the fulfillment of those promises. Through our actions, we bring glimpses of his kingdom into our present reality and into the lives of those we touch. Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This presents a vision of the complete restoration and comfort that will be found under our Father's governance, which was lost in the Garden of Eden. The end of sorrow, pain, and death signifies the profound healing that his kingdom will bring to all creation. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. This promise of a world without suffering provides hope and reassurance for all of us who long for true peace. As saints, we are called to reflect our Father's compassion and love in our daily interactions, offering comfort and hope to those in need. By serving as his hands and feet today, we help others glimpse the wholeness that will come with his kingdom. Or will people look at us, oh no, wherever they're heading, we definitely don't want to head that way. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We heard that scripture in the sermonette as well. Jesus demonstrated a perfect model of servant leadership, emphasizing that true leadership is not about being served, but about serving others. This principle will define our Father's kingdom, where rulers will seek the well-being of those they lead. Micah chapter 4. As children of the Most High, we are called to follow Jesus' example, using our influence to uplift and support others selflessly. When we serve others with humility and love, we embody the values of our Father's kingdom. By doing so, we prepare ourselves for the day when we will serve alongside Christ for an initial 1,000 years as a warm-up period, and then eternity. Bring peace, healing, and righteousness to all creation. Micah 4, verse 3. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. We're kind of a strong nation far away, aren't we, from Jerusalem? No. And they shall beat the swords into plowshares. Who has the biggest military budget in history? And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This envisions a future where conflicts are resolved through godly wisdom and leadership leading to lasting peace. The transformation of weapons into tools for cultivation symbolizes the end of conflict and the beginning of a new era of productivity, harmony, and unity. In our Father's kingdom, society will no longer prioritize war and division, because it's failed diplomacy, in essence, that's war is, but instead focus on growth, peace, and the well-being of all. Not just one state, one country, but the well-being of all of mankind, of all the world. As children of the Most High, we are encouraged to be peacemakers now, working to resolve conflict, foster reconciliation, and create environments where peace and love flourish, reflecting His kingdom on earth. After exploring the limitations of human governance and the glorious hope offered by our Father's kingdom, it is essential for us as children of the Most High to take practical steps that align with His plan. Let us briefly reflect on 7 key takeaways that guide us in living as ambassadors and agents of our Father's coming kingdom. Here are quick 7 key takeaways, action items. Again, if you don't remember everything else, what can we do about it in a nutshell? 1, embrace a kingdom mindset. Embrace a kingdom mindset. We must actively align our thoughts and actions with the principle of our Father's kingdom, seeking His wisdom and direction in all decisions. By focusing on His eternal values, we prepare to live under His righteous rule. 2, seek humility in leadership and service. Coming full circle on the sermonette here. Seek humility in leadership and service, whether in positions of influence or everyday interactions. Let us lead with humility. Place others' needs before our own, just as Jesus did. True leadership in our Father's kingdom is about service, not status. 3, pursue justice and compassion. Pursue justice and compassion. Let justice and compassion guide our actions. Advocate for the vulnerable. Stand against oppression. And extend the love of our Father to those in need, reflecting His heart for humanity. 4, foster unity and peace. Foster unity and peace. Be peacemakers. In a world divided by differences, we must promote unity and reconciliation. And it has to start with the house of God. Our Father's kingdom is one of harmony, and we are called to be agents of that peace, bringing people together in love. 5, reject selfish ambition. Reject selfish ambition. Set aside personal agendas and prioritize the collective good. Seek the honor of our Father above all else. By rejecting selfish ambition, we align ourselves with the servant leadership exemplified by Jesus Christ, who lived for the sake of others. 6, cultivate a spirit of love and service. Cultivate a spirit of love and service. Serve others in love, treating everyone with the dignity they deserve as children of our Father. By demonstrating His love through acts of kindness and compassion, we bring a glimpse of His kingdom into the present world. And finally, 7, prepare for Christ's return. Prepare for Christ's return. Live each day with hope in the return of Jesus Christ. Grow in holiness, nurture our relationship with our Father, and encourage others, you know, in a household of faith. And beyond, we are to encourage everyone, but beginning with the household of faith. The coming kingdom is our ultimate hope. Let us prepare ourselves to be ready for His reign. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 3 for the final scriptural passage. Ephesians chapter 3. As children and saints of the Most High, we have a profound responsibility to embody the values of our Father's kingdom here and now. Let us not be passive observers, but active participants in His plan. May we live each day with intentionality and purpose, allowing our Father's Spirit to transform our hearts and guide our actions. By doing so, we become beacons of His love in a world desperate for hope. The time is now to reflect His justice, mercy, and compassion, preparing ourselves and others for the glorious kingdom to come. Let us rise and answer the call of our Father's kingdom. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.